All right. Well, I'm glad we can be together. Thank you for, I know the weeks can be busy. I know Wednesday can be busy. I think if there is anything the evil one does not want, it would be the people of God to gather and pray, hear the word of God and to pray. So I don't know about you, but maybe Wednesday there were things that came up and you thought, oh, should we make it tonight? Should we go? But I'm thankful. Thankful that you're here, that we can be in the word and then have a time of prayer together. This evening. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2, and I want to read, actually, Titus 1 verse 5, all the way to the end of the chapter, into chapter 2 verse 1, and the reason is because tonight I have the privilege as a preacher of preaching on preaching, and I love it. I'm thankful for it, but I do that because it comes out in the Word of God, and it comes out right here in our verse. And when I return in a few weeks, we'll pick up with verse 2 and talk about the different groups in the church, the older men and the older women and the younger women and the younger men, and to talk about discipleship and life in the body of Christ and how we can encourage one another and grow together in the family of God. But Titus 1, just follow with me as I begin in verse 5. I'll read to the end, because I want you to get the context for what I'm going to preach on in chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, I left you in Crete, so that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Their testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Father, we come as a church family this evening, every single one of us, even myself included, under the authority of your word tonight. We gather to hear a word from you, and to hear a word from you, we have our Bibles open. This is the word of God. It is the truth of God. It is reliable and trustworthy. It is relevant, and your word is sufficient. And so we pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and encourage the hearts of this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe the question could be asked, why are we so committed to the expository preaching of the word of God? Why do we preach the Bible so much around here? Why do we teach so much in the context of Christ's fellowship as we teach the Word of God? I want you to think about this number. Put it in your mind. 520 hours. 520 hours. If you were to attend both the Sunday 4 o'clock and Sunday 5 o'clock hour, and if you were to attend the Wednesday night Bible study, you would place yourself under 520 hours of teaching and preaching of the Word of God every year. That's a lot. It's a lot of hours. And I think that underscores the need for the hour. I think the greatest need, the most urgent need in the world, certainly the greatest need in the church today, as in any season of church history, is the faithful, the fearless, the biblical, the powerful preaching of the Word of God. I think the preaching of the Word of God is the milk that grows a newborn believer. The preaching of the Word of God is like the meat that grows maturing saints in the Word. But nevertheless, it's how we grow in harmony with the Word, because I believe the Bible teaches it is impossible to thrive, to be mature, to be healthy in our spiritual lives if we don't place ourselves under the Word of God daily and under the Word of God regularly in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. So why do we teach and preach the Bible so much? Why are we so committed to the preaching? Look in your outline, a couple of headings there just to kind of introduce the topic and the text before us tonight. Number one, we preach the Word to obey the biblical mandate. We could go to our verse in Titus 2 verse 1 and many others where we are commanded to teach and to preach the Word of God. Number two, we preach the Word to save unregenerate souls. How will they hear without a preacher? And how are people saved but by hearing the Word of Christ? Romans chapter 10. Number three, we preach the Word to feed hungry saints. You know, I don't know about you, but I had a time this week where I missed sort of a healthy meal and I was hungry. I was needing food. It's like that spiritually. If we're not under the Word, we're hungry. We want the feeding and the teaching of the Word of God. Number four, we preach the Word to model the accurate hermeneutic. That is, how to interpret the Bible. You see, as we teach and preach the Bible, it models for every believer, here's how to read and interpret the Bible rightly. We don't just pull a verse out of context and tell stories and tickle the ear. We preach through books of the Bible in context to get the meaning and then to apply that to our lives. Number five, we preach the Word to hear from Almighty God. I love it. You know, people say, I want to hear from God. And I say, good. Come to our church because we open the Bible and read it. You hear from God when you read the Word of God, the Scriptures. And then we preach the Word to glorify the living God. I believe God is glorified when His Word is read and when His Word is preached. If there's one person who shows up or 5,000 people that show up, God is glorified in the context of the church congregation and out on the streets. When the Word of God goes out, God is glorified as His Word goes forth. So, why do we preach the Word? How do we preach the Word? Why is it so important? It's actually kind of a pretty simple method. We read the Bible. I explain the Bible. My job is to apply the Word of God. And then we do it over again. I read the next verse and explain it. And then apply it. And then move on to the next verse. I want you to consider with me a couple of examples. I think I put these in your outline. Jeremiah 23:28. In my Bible, this is highlighted. It's starred. The page is getting thinner and thinner by the year, it seems. But I love Jeremiah 23:28 because the text says this. Whoever has my word, let him speak my word in truth. I know God gave that to Jeremiah a couple thousand years ago, but by application, that's a word for every minister of the gospel. If you have God's word, speak God's word in truth. Or maybe the greatest biblical definition of what preaching is comes from that prophet Micaiah, 1 Kings 22, when Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I shall speak. Whatever God reveals, that's what I'm going to speak. I'm not going to create my own. I'm not going to invent my own. I'm not going to tailor and craft it and take off some things that are uncomfortable. Whatever the Lord delivers to me, that I will speak. I think of how the Lord tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 2, The Lord tells him in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 2, "Go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord." In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12, God says this, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north." Jeremiah chapter 4, "Declare in Judah and proclaim." That's what a preacher does. Declare, proclaim, declare, proclaim. Here's what God says. It isn't here's what I say. It's not here's what the news says. It's not here's what society is saying. Here's what God is saying. Or maybe Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, when Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah, Jesus, about himself, Jesus says, "The Spirit of God is upon me to proclaim forgiveness and release to the captives." Or the apostle Paul, when the Lord converted him in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, he began to proclaim the gospel in the synagogues. Or Colossians 1:28, "We proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom," right? "So that we may present every man complete in Christ." Paul's heart is the heart of every pastor. Colossians 1:25, he says, "I want to fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God." I like the way Paul words it. "I want to fully carry out the preaching. I don't want to just give a little bit here. And I want to fully carry out the charge that God has given to me." But I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to one more. Go to the very end of the book of Romans. I want to take you here because this is really, if we could condense it, here's why we preach so much around here. Here's why we teach so much. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. This is Paul's really closing prayer to the book of Romans. Verse 25. "Now to him who is able to establish you." Now pause right there. Paul is praying and he's affirming and acknowledging God is able to establish the believers. It's not me. It isn't the elders. It's not, you know, your life. It's God. God is able to establish you according to a few things. Number one, according to my gospel. And then related to that, number two, according to the preaching of Jesus Christ. And according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but is revealed in the scriptures. So Paul says, "I know that you, church, will be established in," number one, you will be established in the gospel. You'll be established by the preaching of the Word of God as it is revealed in the scriptures. That's why we preach. So that you will be strong in the Lord, established in the Lord, you know, unshakable, grounded in the Word of God. Now, with so much error in our day, with so many false teachers in our day, with so many false teachings and heretical doctrines all around us in our day, I think the word is true from Paul in 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. We need to prescribe and teach these things. Prescribe and teach these things. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, we preach Christ and Him crucified, right? Jews want a sign and Greeks search for wisdom, but we don't give people what they want. We don't go taking a poll and taking a survey. We preach Christ, right? And we preach Him crucified. Now we come to Titus chapter 2, and you're there in your Bible in Titus chapter 2. And I think where we are in Titus chapter 2, Paul is going to kind of put the brakes on his argument that he's been writing to the man Titus. And he's going to really put the brakes on, and he's going to give a very important and solemn charge to the man Titus on the importance of speaking the truth. And I think by way of application, as I preach this tonight, I want to give you three reasons why we are committed to biblical preaching. You know, even for boys and girls and children, whether you've been in the church for decades or if you're just a young person growing up in the church, why in the world does your parents bring you every single Sunday and Wednesday night to be under the preaching? why? What? There's so many other funner things that could entertain people. There's so many more things that could entertain and bring in the crowds. Why do we do what we do? And I think Titus chapter 2 is going to help us tonight as we go through that together. Number one, here's the first reason, because of the urgency. We preach because of the urgency of preaching. Number two, we preach because of the understanding of what preaching is. And number three, we preach because of the usefulness of preaching. The urgency of preaching, the understanding of preaching, and then the usefulness of preaching. Let's begin. Look with me again at verse 1. Let's begin with the urgency of biblical preaching. But as for you. That's where I get point one. But as for you. You know, this is the prescription. This is the passion. I think we live in a historical moment where the faithful proclamation of the truth of God is urgently, I mean desperately needed in our day. We could say with the prophet Amos, there is a famine in the land. There is a famine in the land, not famine for food, but famine for hearing the word of God, right? In our day, many people turn to entertainments, but the Bible calls us to cling to the revelation of God. There are many in our day that teach errors, part truth. But we are called to hold on to the full counsel of God. There are many who are tickling the ears, but we are called to teach the word. There are many who focus on men, but we are called to focus on God and focus on his word. And whatever else another person may have, or another church may have, or another ministry may have, whatever they have or don't have, we have to hear what Paul's going to say to Titus. I remember in college, when I was living in L.A., my roommates and I got a season pass, get this, to Six Flags. And I remember one night we went to Six Flags and we get on this roller coaster and they begin to let us go. We were about to go and the coaster was moving and then they slammed on the brakes and they had on the speaker to make some announcement. But I'll never forget being jolted like that and kind of looking around. I mean, it got everybody's attention. And I think that's exactly what Paul is doing right here. He's putting the brakes on his argument, and he wants to get everybody's attention, especially that of Titus, but as for you. Remember what we've been talking about in chapter 1. All the false teachers, they're liars, they're greedy, they're teaching false doctrines, they're leading people astray. Oh, they profess to know God, but they really don't live it out with their lives. But as for you, Titus, as for you, it must be so different. Don't let the presence of bad teaching, the presence of false teachers, don't let it cause you to give up or give away your post of being a spokesman for the truth. Even if there's one Micaiah or one Elijah, or if there's only one Titus, we need to give ourselves to sound doctrine, even if there are 400 prophets of Baal all around us in our day. Keep standing and teaching the word of God. Now, the call for preaching is very specific. It is timeless. And it is very clear. And it's repeated all through the word of God. And it's very, very needed. I think the point that we're looking at here on the urgency of biblical preaching is summed up by Paul when Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel," in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Why? You say, "Jeff, why does Paul slow everything down and say, but as for you?" It's because the gospel is what makes the message so urgent. We have an urgency about our tone because the message is urgent. Never forget the worth of a soul. Never forget the worth of an undying, immortal, eternal soul that God has made that will live forever in heaven or hell. We never want to forget and underestimate the reality and the joy of proclaiming that we have the news that there is a Savior for sinners. That there is judgment that will happen at death. That life is so brief that we have the opportunity to do good to men's souls as we call them to come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. There is nothing more urgent than a word from God that is faithfully preached from His spoken word. It's what divides the faithless from the faithful. It's what divides the worshipers from the entertainers. It's what divides the sheep from the goats. With our own hearts and our own temptations and the world all around us, we must preach the word of God constantly. And that's what Paul is saying. Titus, as for you, I don't care what all them are doing out there. Don't point to the culture and all the churches out there and all the religious leaders. As for you, here's what you need to do. You have a quote there in your outline by G. Campbell Morgan at the end of point one. He said, "The supreme work of the Christian minister is the work of preaching. This is the day in which one of the great perils is that of doing 1,000 little things to the neglect of the one thing, which is the preaching of the Word of God." May it always be that we would hunger for the preaching of the Word of God, because we know how urgent it is. It is an urgent need for biblical preaching. But as for you. Now, number two in your outline, why do we preach the Word? Because of the urgency. The urgency. It needs to be preached. The Word of God needs to be heralded. But number two in your outline, we preach the Word so much because of the understanding of preaching. And I want to help us understand what it is to preach the word. Look at verse 1 in Titus chapter 2. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." The hard workers understand what it is to be precise, don't we? You know, you want a scientist to be precise, right? You want a surgeon to be precise, right? You want a builder to be precise. You want your accountant to be precise. You want your preacher to be precise as well. We must be careful and precise in heralding God's truth. In your outline, I gave you this definition there. Expository preaching is a very exacting discipline. We must preach expositionally. And here's what we mean by an understanding of preaching. By expositional preaching, I mean preaching in such a way that the meaning of the Bible is presented entirely and exactly as it was intended by God. So, in biblical expository preaching, it is the proclamation of the truth of God as mediated through the preacher. It's not the current events. It's not what will tickle the ears. It's not what people want to hear. It is the truth of God from the Word of God delivered to the congregation. So I think the duty of every faithful pastor is to understand what preaching is, and he is to carry out his call until that work is finished. To preach, to proclaim, to herald. Right here, verse 1, speak. The word is speak. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, "Give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." I would say, church family, when we understand biblical preaching, we would come to this conclusion. A faithful church that glorifies Christ is not one that just has a little bit of preaching, a little bit in the preaching, maybe in the background, maybe it's part of our time together, or maybe we once had preaching in our church history. No, a faithful local church that glorifies Christ is one that is built upon the centrality of the expository preaching of the Bible. It's like saying, we must have the preaching of the Word of God or we have nothing. We must hear from God. And Paul is going to say in verse 1, "Titus, as for you, here's the urgent moment. You need to understand your call. Speak. Speak it. Speak the word of God." Now, look in your Bible at the very end of chapter 2, Titus 2, verse 15. And this is why it's not just a conversation. This is the context of preaching. Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. There's no doubt that verse 15 is all about preaching. You've got to preach and you've got to exhort and you've got to teach and reprove with all authority. Not that I have authority. The Word of God has the authority. And so Paul is going to sandwich the whole chapter, chapter 2, with this main call. Titus, here's your duty. You have a duty to preach, to speak, to exhort, to proclaim not only the gospel for the church life, which we will get to, older men, older women, younger women and younger men, but also the gospel, which we will look at in chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Speak the gospel. This is the Christian proclamation. It is speaking divine truth, not only the meaning of the text, but the application of that meaning to your life. So it's one thing to lecture. It's another thing to give, here's how God calls you to take action in light of the truth in God's word. The goal of biblical preaching is to inform, sure, but it's to persuade. It is to call for an appropriate response. It's like what we could say with Paul, I want a verdict. I want to persuade you to believe, Paul said to Agrippa. Preaching is calling for a verdict. So we speak the truth. We speak the oracles of God. We preach the word. We sow the seed and we trust the Lord. We trust God to give new birth by the word of truth. Why do we preach the Bible so much? Why do we do it around here? Why do we teach and preach so much? Number one, because of the urgency of it. Number two, because of the understanding that God has revealed himself in the Bible. And our duty is to explain what God has put in the Bible and to apply it so that we would grow in the Word of God. And then third, in your outline, why do we preach the word? Because of the urgency, because of the understanding of it, and then third, because of the usefulness of the preaching, because of the usefulness of biblical preaching. This is the protection. This is protection. It is most advantageous. It is most needful. I would say nothing is more worthwhile for you as a child of God, for me as a child of God, than for us to together be under the preaching of the Word of God. We can be busy, I get it. And we can have things in our lives, I get it. But I don't think that we are ever making a wrong decision when we hear the Word of God and put ourselves under the right teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Notice chapter 2, verse 1 again. Paul said to Titus, as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. What are you to preach? You are to preach the things which are fitting, the things which are going to advance, the things which are going to advocate sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. For holiness, for love, for unity, for worship, for witness. Bobby Jameson wrote a book entitled Sound Doctrine. He said this, like a good map, the Bible and sound doctrine is eminently useful. And so we should use the Word of God and sound doctrine well in the context of a local church, because sound doctrine is going to guard us. It's going to protect us. It's going to encourage us. It's going to keep us on the right path. The doctrine does matter. Contrary to what some may say in our day, doctrine does matter. I remember the words. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians is making this argument to the Corinthian church in chapter 15 about the resurrection, right? And he can't believe that there's people there in the church that are denying the resurrection. I mean, if you have no resurrection, you have no hope. We are of all men to be pitied, Paul said. Paul, in that context, said, we preached, and so you believed. That's how important doctrine is. We preach, you believe. That's why James says, let not many of you be teachers, my brethren, right? For we will incur a stricter judgment. I'm not going to give an account only for myself, but for the whole flock that God calls me to shepherd. The high calling of preaching so the people of God would believe the truth. We preach what will be of eternal usefulness to men's souls. What are the things fitting for sound doctrine? Well, Paul's going to explain. Well, let me tell you how the old men, the older men are to live, and how the older women are to live, and then how the younger women and the younger men. Let me tell you how all of the families are to conduct themselves in the church. And now let me tell you the gospel in chapter 2, and Paul's going to explain all that. But this glorious gospel, this great doctrine of what God has done to send His Son to die on the cross and to take your place, your sin, your curse, your wrath, your punishment, the anger of God, the fury of God, to be your propitiation, for someone to come and to say, I am able and I am adequate and I am sufficient to be your substitute because I'm a man, I can relate to you, and yet I'm fully God, I can completely appease the wrath of God. And so He did. He came, He suffered, He died, He was buried, He was raised on the third day, He was ascended up into heaven, He's now interceding for us, coming again one day. This is the gospel of sound doctrine that we preach, that we hold to, that we cling to. Doctrine really is important. And that's what Paul wants Titus to do, to preach sound doctrine. You have it there in your outline. I believe I put it there. Biblical preaching expounds the Word of God. The biblical preaching of sound doctrine is going to magnify Jesus Christ. The biblical preaching of the Word of God edifies spirit-indwelt souls. The biblical preaching saves wayward sinners. A biblical preaching of sound doctrine allows Christ to speak to His church. A biblical preaching guards from bad teachings within, and it protects from false teachers without. A biblical preaching of sound doctrine instills zeal and courage in our hearts. And on we could go with so many more reasons why we're committed to biblical preaching. But church family, what did Jesus say to Peter in John chapter 21? Feed my lambs, right? Shepherd my sheep, right? Tend my lambs. That's the call. Feed my people, Jesus said. Feed them, nurture them, give them the words of God. We are to preach the word in season and out of season. And so Paul gives the contrast. All the false teachers, here's all that they have done in chapter 1. Paul talked about that. Now Paul says, Titus, as for you, your job is to be a faithful man who would speak forth and proclaim forth and declare the Word of God. There's nothing that is more weighty. There's nothing that is more important. There's nothing that is more gladdening to the heart. There's nothing that is more eternally weighty than every single occasion we hear the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. It really is that important. You might say it like this: eternity hangs in the balance. Because eternity is affected when the preaching goes out and God the Spirit uses His Word to both save and to sanctify His people. So may we, even as a church congregation, long for the food of the Word of God. Like Peter said, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word so that it would nourish our souls and we would taste and see that the Lord is good, right? This is why we do what we do. Because of the urgency of preaching, because of a right understanding of preaching, and because of the usefulness of preaching in giving sound doctrine from the Word. there's a quote in conclusion that I want you to follow. It's kind of an exhortation to me as a teacher and preacher, but to all of us to understand how weighty this is and why we do what we do in preaching the word. A clarion call to expository preaching, Mark Stege, when he said this: through our preaching, the Lord seeks to change men's lives. We are to be evangelists to awaken men to their high calling in Christ. We are to be heralds, proclaiming the message of God to men. We are to be ambassadors, calling men to be reconciled to God. We are to be shepherds, nourishing and caring for men day by day. We are to be stewards of the mysteries of God, giving men the proper word for their every need. We are to be witnesses, telling men of all that God has done for them. We are to be overseers, urging men to live their lives to God. We are to be ministers, preparing men to minister with us to others. And as we reflect on all these phases of our work, what emphasis each gives to the importance of preaching, what a task the Lord has given to us. And so together, as a church family, may we be committed to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. For the good of souls, for the health of Christ Fellowship Bible Church, and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you modeled the calling in life, the duty to preach faithfully. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to raise up teachers and preachers, and that you, Holy Spirit, would guard us in the sound doctrine, that we would be well built and firmly grounded in the word here as a local congregation of believers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.